Good morning, one and all. Time to get techie with it. Charles Malt, Charles Miller, both in the house today. How we doing, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Well, yeah. We're still enjoying these nice, cool mornings, and look like you're off for another adventure.
Yeah, wife and I are going to help my son a little bit more with this property. We're just having a lot of fun doing that. It's just, you know, you only get so many cool days.
Yeah.
It's just kind of nice to, but it's supposed to get pretty hot today. So,
yeah,
we're supposed to be up in the 90s again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It won't hit till about 3 in the afternoon. You'll still be in the 80s.
We're going to have to have AC
to a nice
point.
Morning.
Yeah. I know my son's got his AC cranking up there, you know, in his RV. So we're going to be hopefully being able to get out of that. We're going to get out of it. But anyways, yeah, in tech news, Charles, questions asked recently in my shop is, where can people learn? Where can they sit down and have a class to learn, you know, things about how to navigate on the computer?
Well,
getting around, you know?
Where everybody's going now is Google University, which is essentially YouTube. And, you know, I think the using written word anymore for, you know, like learning from a book is kind of fallen by the wayside and has taken place now, or is being replaced by the you know, the YouTube videos, because you can watch a YouTube video on anything. But the biggest challenge with that is there's as much good stuff as there is bad stuff. You know, now you have to weed your way through, okay, do I want to listen to this guy with this accent that I can just barely understand? Or, you know, because he obviously knows his stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean he communicates all that well. So that's why the visuals at least help compensate for that. So there are some good places, though, and you know, that's exactly the kind of format that I'm looking to try to create with my my IT Village concept, is watching these videos to kind of help people along, but creating a track for people. So if you want to do this, if you want to do that, you know, you take the, you watch these videos in this sequence, and it helps you get to the next stage, you know, because everybody has, they're operating at a certain level where, you know, you don't want to talk above it. You don't want to talk below it. You've got to hit it just right so that you can take the next step. It's like it's like stairs. You know, if you have stairs and there's three of them in between missing, it's hard to take that jump to the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of concept. But that's really the best place, because all the training stuff is going online. I mean, you know, the last, you know, how it's been the last couple of years already is everybody's, you know, moving to some kind of an online format.
Well, you know, and a lot of your teachers online, you know, talking about YouTube and places like that, a lot of them are not affiliated with the companies they deal with. For instance, you know, some of your guys that are dealing with, let's say even in trucks, for instance, they don't work for Chevy or Ford. But some of the best mechanics out there, there's some good learning out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys that really know their stuff, that I've spent a lot of time with guys recently on that, because I'm trying to do little things to my vehicle, you know, because of the age of it, do some tightening up here and there. And you learn more from these guys than just going through the dealership's manual. I went through the dealership manual the other day and I just got lost. So I went on to a YouTube channel. This one guy's out there. He says, nah, I don't work for Chevy, but I can tell you everything about a Chevy. And he's some little old mechanic. And man, he walked through these things and I'm like, good gosh, this guy's great. Because to take it down to there, I was going to take it to Chevy, and they, man, they wanted a mint to go in there and fix this door. And I fixed it myself, and it now is working, functioning great. But this guy, just a little old man on there, he knows, he's turned wrenches since he was a kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, but in your line and in your field, people have been asking, you know, where do we go for something like, and like you said, online you can. But, you know, when you get your protege all up to speed and he's working for you, someday you need to open up a class.
Well, I think probably the good place to start right now would be with Zoom. You know, those Zoom meetings.
Yeah, because you're so experienced in everything.
Well,
with the computers.
I can address a certain audience. You know, like, for example, I don't do so good anymore with the old-timers because it just takes too long. I don't have that much time. And kids, you know, they just want to play. So, you know, you have to you have to find the right person to talk at the right level to reach those people, so they're motivated to learn. Because not everybody's motivated to learn. They may want something, but they don't want to pay the price, which is essentially time.
Yeah.
Some things just take time.
Yeah, and in software, I do the same, because we even, you know, on our website, we talk about we can offer software suggestions or people to go to, contacts to reach, because we don't do them at our place with even phones or tablets or computers. We just don't deal with software.
Yeah.
But software is such a niche. I mean, there's so much in software. We can refer them to, like, let's say, Noblet, you know, Williams, you know, start naming all these people that do computers. We can farm them off to people that know software. But the thing of it is, like you said, the internet is just so full of places you can actually go to where you can learn. And YouTube's one of the biggest ones. But again, you have to be careful of who you're learning from. You just got to do some research.
Yeah. Because like I said, just so much stuff out there. And it is quite varied, you know, because there's people from all over the world now creating those videos because they're finding out. And the ones that I really dislike are the ones that where you have to weed through the commercials. You'd be going right in the middle of all of a sudden it stops.
Oh, yeah.
And now you got to listen to a commercial just like on TV. I said, well, you know, I was trying to get away from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but now with YouTube, you can buy a subscription from them that weeds out all the commercials. You don't have to sit through the commercials.
Yeah, that's why I have my YouTube premium. Yeah, I really like
that.
If
you get that YouTube premium, you can pay for it.
Oh, you get spoiled.
But you get spoiled, then you don't have all those commercials. But, you know, speaking of that, you know, and this is the reason we had this discussion this morning. I had a customer come in that really had a problem with his computer software, and I don't do software there. But I just happened to have one of my friends there that does software. And he spent probably 7.5 hours with this guy trying to clean up his registry, his files.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you can't do that every day. I mean, if you stop and think the average person, let's say they just a minimum charge for doing software repairs, a lot of places are $45 an hour, you know, minimum.
Probably more than that, actually.
Quite a bit more, but I'm just going back to old school numbers because I'm old school. But $45 an hour, you know. And let's say even at that, and you spend 7.5 hours with somebody.
Yeah. How does that work?
How does
that
work?
That's why you have to do it in groups. You just get groups of a half a dozen people.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it can be, you know, worthwhile. But yeah, one-on-one, it's tough to get that kind of support.
Yeah.
But I've thought about that. You know how they add the old telephones? I thought about actually having some kind of a station, like because set up in your place, for example, where once you get on the screen, you know, you basically just, it's like putting in your quarter, and then somebody will come and help you. He says, well, I got this issue with this computer. They could even bring their laptop there.
Yeah.
And you can do the remote sessions, you know.
We need one of those for Bartlesville. But, you know, they have them online where you can hire a professional to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
That's a certified, you know, whatever. Because certifications, again, there you go. We've had this discussion this week even. Certifications are just what they are. You know, there's a piece of paper that says you went through this training, but there's a lot of people out there that are not certified in all kinds of different realms, automotive, computers, whatever, that are really good at what they do. A lot of your guys, I don't know, I've always gone back to the adage, you know, there's some people are just born with it. You know, they're it's in their skill set. And that's okay. That's okay to have those kind of people. But to have somebody like you with computers, you've been in computers for so long and certified in so many things, I don't even think you remember what all you've got. But your list of things, you're the most qualified person. If you did have something like that, setting up a thing where people pay for your services, you know, where they can call you and it starts the clock and you can walk them through, that's a different scenario than sitting there for 7.5 hours and
trying to learn on your
and
own.
Saying, okay, I'm going to charge you $150. What? That's just way too much, you know. And you, well, I just spent 7.5 hours with you. Just figure out how long that takes, you know.
Yeah.
But I asked him, I said, what did you charge that guy? 7.5 hours. He goes, well, I was just trying to help him. And it was, I mean, $45 all he made on 7.5 hours. I was like, that's just not, not feasible.
Well, you know, what I would do, like right now, if you go to itvillage.one, I've got a button on there that says email me. You know, and I'll actually create a session to do specific topics, because what I can do is I come up with a little smorgasbord here. This is like your lunch menu, and you just pick the topics. And if there's enough people interested in that topic, I'll set one up, and then we'll schedule it, and then people could just attend.
Well, that's a good idea, Charles. On IT Village 1,
Yep.
Now spell that out for everybody so they just know where to find
it. Just IT and then the word village and then the dot one.
Is dot one.
O-N-E.
O-N-E. Uh-huh.
And it's a calendar. It's my calendar. And I'll start putting stuff on the calendar because if we have enough people to get together for any specific topic, we can do it. It's just that one-on-one, it's just killer. You know, you just can't. Because I don't have enough hours in the day as it is. So I'm going to make them all count.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're a busy guy. We've had this discussion this week, several of us. And I, you know, because one guy says, I just got to call Charles Mall. He's the smartest guy on the planet with this stuff. And I said, but if you do that, you know, you got to remember everybody else is already taxing Charles. I tax Charles. I said, Charles is so busy. You know, he doesn't know which end is coming or going. I've seen you. I've ran around with you. So I tell the radio audience, you know, this is a great guy. You can reach him through that website.
Yeah,
but, it's the best.
he is a limited faction of knowledge, but he's a limited guy.
Yeah. But we could do that. We could set up these little Zoom sessions, and we can get together. And if we could actually do it as a group periodically.
Yeah, we need to do that. We need to set that up.
And just go meet somewhere.
I get so many calls in a week's time. I mean, just... How do I go in and clean this up? How do I do that? You know, I had a guy the other day wanting to know how he gets off of all of his Google. How do I stop Google from tracking me? And there was like a whole thing, Commando. Commando. She did a big old deal on that where it shows the 10 steps to stop everybody from watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do it? And you got to turn off a lot of things. You're going to be kind of in a field by yourself. You're not going to get all these little advertisements you once had. So you can shut this all down to a point,
but you're
going to be on an island by yourself.
Well, and it changes.
It does. We'll be back with more of the Charles College of Knowledge. I don't know what we're going to call this, but right now the program is Tech Talk.
The College of Knowledge.
Yeah, that's where I went. That's what the check said anyway. Anyway, you can reach us at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back in just a moment right here on K1.
Ernest Heat and Air says, don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Have your air conditioner serviced or replaced with a new high-efficiency air conditioner. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057 to have your AC checked. That's Ernest Heat and Air, 918-335-3057, 709 Northeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Check their website at ErnestHeatandAir.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Good morning. It's 7:44. Welcome back to Tech Talk. Our number is 1-800-749-5936 if you have a question for Charles and Charles.
Well, right now, you know, the thing that's been really obnoxious is all these messages that I'm getting, you know, text messages, that is, from, you know, undesirables. How do you describe that? But basically, what's been happening is T-Mobile's been hacked. You know, three times in the last year. And this last time, now I get these text messages, and they'll have a number associated with it. See, like for example, it'll give you a number, and then it says, and then there's a link.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it look like it's a Facebook link. And I get these things, you know, every day now. So it'll say, well, you have a new notification on Facebook. And then it creates a little, you know, it's got a little URL there.
Tiny URL.
It doesn't go to Facebook. It goes to FB.com. You know, and some, you know, something after it. Well, that's not Facebook. Because, you know, when you click on those links, it basically says, well, welcome to Facebook. You have new friends. And typically, I've noticed that even on regular Facebook, it'll say, you know, that you want to add this friend, you know, or you have a friend request, and they're already your friends. So I said, okay, why do we need to repeat this exercise? And you'll have it multiple times, but either they're Facebook account got hacked, or it's just a bogus thing to yeah. get you to go yeah. somewhere, and that's where your problems start. But what's interesting about this one, and I'm sure the T-Mobile is trying to do some cleanup work, is they disappear. Like, I've had two or three of them here the last few days. Now they're all gone, except that fresh one from yesterday. So, you know, they're scraping that stuff out of there slowly but surely. So at least they're doing something, but I wish I could get on the front end of that.
Yeah, oh, man, just block them out, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is all those 918, and then there's a 200 series numbers. As soon as I see those,
done.
They're not good, you know. So there's blocks of numbers now that you can identify as being spammers. You know, they're just spamming you with garbly goo.
And it's so hard in my business because you get those spam. It says spam alert right on the screen, and sometimes it's a customer trying to get in touch with you. Why it comes up as spam, I don't know. And I've had them call and call, and I'm going that, well, maybe it's not a spammer. So I'll answer it, and they'll say, yeah, we were trying to get a hold of you. You've not been answering. I said, well, you're showing up on my ID as spam. Well, somebody said I was showing up as spam on other ones, and I just have a question for you. I just need to get something fixed, you know. And so it's just a weird thing that, you know, how do you distinguish what's what?
Right.
And that FB.com is pretty popular. I've seen a lot of people seeing that, and they don't go there. And you just got to know that that's not Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, the one I know that's fake is they say, thanks for your payment, Malia. Your package is in the mail.
Oh, yeah. I get those, too.
I'm not Malia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even identify as Malia.
Yeah. It's pretty obnoxious. Pretty obnoxious. Yeah. But you know what's really generating all that stuff? As soon as all the phone companies started using voice over IP, which is essentially, it's putting all your voice calls on the internet. You know, it encrypts it typically, but they don't have to. You know, they're just getting your call from one point to another.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is if they don't have that encryption in there where people can't see that, you know, it's like public information. It's just like somebody can watch a site. Like, for example, you might be watching Amazon or, you know, whoever it is. And then let's see the traffic coming out of there. Well, you start capturing it. That's where you can capture the traffic. It's just like you're saying, well, here's an address. Let's see where this one's going. And you can start to take that and follow it because there's certain protocols your machine is designed to receive, whether it's your phone or whatever device. And that's how they get a lot of that garbly gook coming your way.
Huh.
So that's really pretty obnoxious.
Now, there are groups out there, though. I will say that there are groups that you can go see them on YouTube that are starting to get these scammers, and they're starting to find them. And they have ways of tracking them now. And they track them right overseas and right up inside buildings.
That's the thing. Yeah. You can track them so far overseas. That's why on my routers anymore, I just block those overseas IP
anything
addresses.
Over, yeah.
Yeah, if it's coming from the Ukraine or Israel, I don't, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Somebody's knocking on the door and I'm not going to let them in.
I don't know anybody from there.
Yeah. I get a lot of emails from different countries because sometimes I deal with parts and stuff and I order from them. But yeah, you have to really, you got to look for avenues around them. For instance, like belts. I order a lot of belts sometimes for old tape machines that I used to in the past. I stopped doing it because you just can't find them. I mean, you have to go all the way to the UK, and some guy will have these old belts for old turntables and old tape machines and whatnot. But these things, I always just tell people now, just go get newer devices. You know, but I do help people that, you know, like one of our friends here in town, he does data transfers from old VHS to CD, and he does a great job with it. He's a really good guy up on 75, and he's been doing this for a long time, and he's got all this old equipment. But trying to find parts for his old machines is just like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting so hard to dig into those warehouses and see if somebody's just got one stuffed on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, but, you know, if you've been around a while like we have, you're trying to figure out how to breathe some more life into this piece of equipment that you're so fond of.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to give it up.
That's it. I
got to tell you a funny thing. You and I talk a lot about computers and Macs and all these different things. A friend of mine, I heard from a buddy of mine. I have not heard from this guy since probably in the mid-80s. But anyways, he owned a computers and music place in Colorado, and it was just he interfaced all Apple with everything music, and he was a genius with it. I mean, this guy had it going on. But he called me this last week. He found me finally, and he says, "Man, I've been looking for you forever. I've got this old Macintosh computer you left with me that is an iMac, first generation iMac. Remember, they were all built into a little screen.
Yeah.
It was just a little round cube." And he says, "I have this with your name still on it. Do you want this?" And I said, "Oh, man, yeah. Is it all there?" And he goes, "Yeah, it still works." So he's holding it for me. So the next trip that I have a family member coming from Colorado here, I'm going to have him run by and pick it up and bring it to me. But it was the original iMac. And you know that's got to be worth some money.
Probably.
Yeah, he and I used to put these together, and he had a library of computers. But it was the very first generation. Just came in a little cube. It was the first original computer that people were buying from Apple. Macintosh, back in the day, they called it. They didn't really go by Apple.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, man, it was pretty cool.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, well.
It was just neat to touch bases with people that you hadn't touched base like that before. It's been a long time since he and I communicated. And I worked for him. I was just a kid at the time. And we did all of our, I had to go through a bunch of training with all these people to work on all the stuff that he was doing. Because he was interfacing all the new keyboards, Roland, Yamahas, all this stuff with, and the old stuff. I mean, going way back to when they still were using Moogs and just coming into computers. And everything was MIDI controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing us how to link the software with the old keyboards. It was so much fun. Man, that was a lot of fun. But it was just cool to touch base with him. He's retired now. And, we had a good time talking.
That was before YouTube videos, Charles.
Yeah, way before YouTube videos. I don't think even the internet was just coming around, I think, in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was all kind of text-based stuff. We didn't really have the visuals. The Mac really put that to the forefront. You know, everything was visual. And, so it just took over.
I remember the first time I pulled up a video on my iMac, that little old iMac, the very first time. And it was, I mean, you cannot believe the quality of that thing was just so poor. It was just pixelated, but it was running. But I remember all of us guys standing around going, "Oh, my gosh, we got a video on here." You know, and I just remember the kids today would just laugh at us. But back then, it was pretty awesome to see that first
rare
little bit of footage. And, TV was the only thing that people knew, and it was archaic at best. But this was really archaic to get your very first video. And I think it was something someone downloaded offline, and it took several days to get it down. And it was probably only like 65 seconds long, if that. And we were just watching this little video, and it was just a cool thing. I'll never forget how exciting that was.
Right now we're going to take a little bit snippet of audio. And we'll be back after this 1 minute timeout.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, "Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case."
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time to get back to Tech Talk with Charles and Charles. Gentlemen.
Boy, you turned off a good song.
I know.
Anyways.
We're going country, huh?
Yeah, it was. Oh, I like country music. I listen to it all the time. But that song was a good one. But anyways, getting back to computers. So, Charles, what's been new in the world this
well,
month?
Well, everybody's starting to get hit with these messages now. It says Windows 11 you know, update is available, but your computer's not quite ready for it. You'll see that now. Because, you know, it came out, was it like the 5th? It was just a few days ago.
And is it hardware not ready, or?
No, well, it's hard to say. You know, it depends on your vintage machine, but it's not going to like the older equipment, that's for sure. But it does work on most machines. So, but anyway, you'll see the update. But personally, I would just avoid it. I said, well, why be the guinea pig for this?
Yeah.
You know, because it is going to change some stuff. And we'll start to cover some materials on, okay, what happens when you actually start to go to Windows 11? You know, because there'll be some subtle changes, but it's supposed to be faster. But and we'll see how it shakes out. Because, like I say, this is the first week. It's just been out a few days. But when you do your Windows update, you'll start to see, okay, Windows 11. But you don't have to do it. It's an option.
Yeah.
So unless you just want to experiment and play with it, I'd hold off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I miss those days back when they used to have the store. It would be in the store, and the people would be lined up around the block to get the new phone or to get the new software bundle or something like that. And, you know, somehow when Steve Jobs kind of went away, kind of some of the magic went away.
It did. It was sad. That was a sad day for Mac people because they lost their visionary. And now they've got a marketing guy that was just pushing product and just didn't know the technology because they fell on their face. I saw a special on, I think it was a documentary about how the exodus, you know, of Steve Jobs when he kind of got ousted. Because I guess he was a pretty arrogant guy, you know. I mean, I could see where some people just couldn't take him because he had those elevator talks, you know. When you got on the elevator, people shuddered when he was on the elevator because he gave you a one-minute time, says, well, what are you doing for Apple? And if you didn't have a good answer in 60 seconds, you were out the door.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
But, they kind of fell on their face. They were trying to make that handheld thing, which is a precursor to the iPad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just bombed. You know, it just totally bombed. Because, you know, the stuff, it was just too early. You know, the internet wasn't, you know, prevalent. It was a neat product. Because the handheld devices were really pretty neat. But they were, you know, like the old text-based stuff. It just wasn't anything like we've got now.
Folks just thought it was a clunky brick. You know,
it looked like a brick when you hold it in your hand.
That's when my friend Lee Sanchez had his computers and music. Yes, he retired. Is the day that Steve Jobs died. He said, I was done at that point. He said, I put my business up for sale. And he said, but a lot of people didn't want to get into the Mac business. So he says, I just got out. He said, and I retired. And so he said it was never going to be the same, and he knew it. You know, it was going to change.
Boy, was he right.
And, he's missed out on a lot of the new changes, but... You know, him and I were talking about some of the music stuff, and he says, well, I still dabble in it at home, but he says, I couldn't sell it anymore. Steve was the one that sold his company, you know, so.
He was a visionary, no doubt.
He said it's time to retire. He was 68 when he retired anyway, so.
It was time.
He was way over time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
68's a sweet spot, man.
That's a sweet spot. I was hoping to do it earlier. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I could do it right now and feel pretty happy about it.
Well, remember, folks, you can always download the podcast after the show is over. It's usually up within a half hour. And, of course, you can join us in next week for our Tech Talk program right here on your favorite radio stations. And once again, Charles Mall, where can we find you?
ITVillage.one.
And that's O-N-E, not the numeral.
Yes. Right.
And you can find me at NBR Electronics right downstairs of KWON.
Very good, gentlemen. Have yourself a splendid weekend and an even better week. We will reconvene and get techie with it next week at this very same time.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.
This is KWON Bartlesville.